Welcome to First Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Anish Anand and joining me in this episode is Srihari Natraj. Srihari is one of the most talented swimmers from India. He specializes in backstroke and has consistently broken national records at various national and international meets. He's based out of Bengaluru and today he's here with us to talk about various aspects related to swimming. We'll discuss about his career, techniques, diet, mental strength, and many more things. So let's dive in right up.
So thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. How's lockdown treating you? Everything fine?
Yeah, it's all good. Just sitting at home the whole time, getting in some workout and just passing time, new hobbies.
Okay.
I started learning how to play the guitar.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. My brother used to play it, so he had his guitar still at home, so I started literally using that.
So, just watching but YouTube videos and...
a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, nice. So anything recently, anything you want to tell our readers that you should watch it?
Let me think. I finished a few TV shows. I watched Ford vs. Ferrari 1917.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Good film, yeah, 1917.
Yeah. They're all really good.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. So we'll go for the questions. Yeah. So first of all, we start off with a generic question. Why should people choose swimming as a sport?
Swimming in general is a very good sport for fitness.
Okay.
Cardio, flexibility, fitness, and it's the safest form of exercise for fitness. It's safer than walking or running because there's no pressure on the joints.
Okay.
Another thing is it's teaches a life skill. It's like a life skill. It teaches you water safety. So in terms of emergencies, we can always rely on our skills to survive. Yeah. And it's a tough sport. And when it comes in terms of professional sports, swimming is a tough sport.
Yeah.
The training is demanding. The racing is demanding, physically and mentally. But it's really fun and interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a developing sport. It's not yet completely developed and grown as far as, at least in India.
Okay. So what is the right age to take up swimming? Is it advisable to start young?
It is advisable to start young. I started very young. I started at the age of 2.5. And a lot of people around the world do.
Okay.
But it's not like if you start later, it doesn't mean that you cannot get into the national team, but it does not mean that you cannot perform well at the national level or international level.
Right.
It just it depends on what your goal is ultimately. But yeah, you can swim at any age. That's the best part about it. You can swim when you're 2, you can swim when you're 50. It doesn't make a difference.
Okay. So tell me about your training, Sherry, when there are training schedule, when there are no competitions. So just an overview of your training schedule when there are no competitions.
So regardless of having competition or not, I usually train 10 sessions a week. So that's morning and evening, 4 days a week. And Wednesday and Saturday is just once. And gym session in at least three to four times a week.
Okay.
Depending on whether I have a competition soon or whether I don't, depending on what part of the season I am, my strength and conditioning program is based on that.
Okay.
And my swimming program, usually when there's no tournaments nearby, it's likely not as intense. It's about working a little more on endurance and simple terms and technique.
Okay. What time your day starts and what time it ends?
I train from 8 to 10 in the morning.
Okay.
I wake up around 6:45 and it ends at about 10:30. My training in the evening is from 6:30 to 8:30. So I get back home. I get home by around 9:15 and then have my dinner and sleep around 10:30.
Okay. So, Sherry, tell me about your off-the-pool exercise routine. Anything specific you follow?
In the pool, it's taken care by my coach, Jairaj. Off-the-pool, my strength and conditioning coach, Declan, takes care of my program.
Uh-huh.
So, depends on what where I am into the season, if I'm close to a meet, it'll be more about heavy lifting. It'll be more about building strength and power.
Yeah. Okay.
If I've come off a meet, it'll be about recovering, so working on stability and things like that. But if I have a meet, immediately we continue with the program that we were doing before the meet.
Okay.
Because pretty much the past 2 years I had meets back to back, so
okay.
We stick to the strength and endurance program. But if I'm coming off a meet, it might not be as intense. We'll be focusing on endurance, muscle endurance, submaximal effort,
okay.
And basically stability, like similar to what I'm training in the pool. If
okay.
I'm closer to a meet, in the pool it's going to be sprint, so in the gym it's going to be strength.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm off a meet, it's going to be technique, and here it's going to be stability.
Okay. Sherry, when you're not in competition, what does your diet look like on an average day?
Yeah, my diet's pretty much the same. Simple home-cooked food, South Indian food, regardless of competition or not.
Okay.
Just if I'm not training as much, I might reduce it.
Okay.
Like now I've reduced it. But if I'm under intense training, if I'm doing a lot of distance in the pool, I might eat a little more than usual. Depends on, again, the training that I'm doing. But the food part of it stays the same. When I have no tournaments, sometimes I do enjoy a little bit. I do let myself go a little bit, have more junk than what I should.
Okay.
But it's not at a bad amount or anything.
Okay. So, as usual, South Indian food means, the dosas,
right.
And
dosa, idli, rice.
Idli, rice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And on specific, let's say, on your race day, how do you go about when it comes to diet? So you get up and what all you consume?
Yeah. So during race day, for me, the main goal is to have as much energy as I can for the race.
Okay.
So there's a lot of carb loading. So usually if I'm racing from home, my breakfast is always, I have a bowl of cereal, chocos, cornflakes, whatever is available.
Okay.
With some milk and maybe a coffee, a coffee at home. South Indian coffee, but no milk, just the decoction.
Right.
After pool, I get the warm-up done, and then I might have maybe some idlis.
Okay.
Or maybe some slice of bread, but usually idlis if I'm racing in Bangalore and if I'm racing from home. And lunch is rice, dal, and potatoes.
Okay.
And I might have fruits, like immediately after the race, I'll have a banana. In the evening, there'll be some juice before the finals. My mom would either make beetroot or orange or any juice, and there'll be tender coconut in between. It's about keeping myself hydrated and energetic. And dinner's again going to be something like, if I'm at home, maybe pasta, something like maybe a stuffed paratha.
Okay.
But when I go abroad or when I go to my nationals in another state, in a hotel, so usually there's a good spread of buffet in the breakfast, so I'll have some pancakes, maybe an omelette, some potatoes, some other fruits, a lot of, again, coffee, but even when I go up to another city for my tournaments, I try to find tender coconut to have in the afternoon.
Okay.
And the lunch stays the same. Lunch, I try to get dal, rice, and potato. If that's not available, I stick with pasta.
Okay.
And I get potatoes available everywhere. So I request them to give me boiled potatoes.
Okay.
And then dinner stays the same, pasta as well.
Okay. So it's the coach who prepares?
No.
Okay.
No, it's in a hotel. The diet plan is something that I've been following since I was very young.
Okay.
I have a lot of... carbs during the competition, during the races, and it's something that works, and I stick to it.
Okay. So Sherry, in certain sports, by the time athletes reach the highest level, it becomes, as they say, it all becomes about mental aspect, right?
Yes.
Because the basics are covered and all. Is it the same in swimming?
Swimming is actually more mental than physical. Sometimes a smarter swimmer would have get the better of the stronger swimmer.
Okay.
And swimming, in a sport like swimming, our mind will give up sooner than our body will. Because like some of the races, The thing is, once we grow, we start thinking, mm. and we know, and because of experience, we know that some of the races will hurt more than the other.
Mm.
And it's about convincing ourselves to take that pain.
Mm.
And if we can stay strong mentally, swimming becomes very possible, doing well.
Mm.
And I would say mental strength plays a big role in swimming.
Okay. So how do you work on your mental strength? Do you have any specific plans?
And this is what I feel from what works the best. So we all train every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about knowing when we go into the race, it's about knowing that we've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
We've already done the work.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's nothing to worry about. We just have to go into the race as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the best of it. And also, another thing is I've been very honest with myself.
Yeah.
In terms of the effort that I put in training.
Okay.
I can say that I've worked really hard and really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about everybody needs to be honest with their efforts because at the end of the day we're doing it for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And as long as we do that, and when we go to the race, we know that we're putting the work.
Okay.
Then there's not going to be anything that troubles us. We're going to know that usually when I go to competitions, I'm very confident because I know I've done the work. I know
okay.
I've done everything that I can do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Shere, why did you choose backstroke as your specialty? Was this your decision or was it your coach?
I actually didn't like backstroke at all.
Okay, okay.
But in one of the nationals, my first nationals, I swam the 50 fly and 50 back.
Okay, this was when you were?
I was 9.
Okay, when you were 9,
yeah.
In 2010,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 50, I train only for the fly. I don't make the finals in fly. I barely train for the backstroke. I come fifth. I was raced under 10, so
which
was the second, and it was my first nationals. After that, he made me start focusing more on back, and the very next year I broke my first national record in backstroke.
Okay.
50 backstroke in the sub juniors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how backstroke started. I actually didn't like backstroke at all. I used to, because I didn't find it very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah.
What was the original choice? Which one did you find it exciting?
I like swimming butterfly.
Even now.
My favorite stroke to swim. It's toughest physically.
Mm.
It's like all strokes have their all strokes have different aspects of it which are tough.
Yeah.
And butterfly is one of the most demanding physically.
Mm.
Backstroke, I would say, is the most technical one.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So things about backstroke, I would say, the one who has the most perfect stroke will have nobody's perfect, but the one who has the best technique out of everybody else will have an edge on the other athletes.
Okay. So this was the present Jairaj coach only was the one who chose. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So his decision. Yeah. So staying with backstroke.
It's not that he told me to swim. It's not like he made me swim only backstroke.
Okay.
At a young age, I was taught to swim all the strokes, and I used to swim all the strokes in the competition. And most swimmers at the under 10 level do all the strokes.
Okay.
The only thing is I focused a lot on training for all the four strokes instead of trying to stick to only one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's something that he did was, again, train me for all four strokes, but just focus a little bit more on backstroke.
So it was around that age only where you, you decided that backstroke will be your event, right? Around age of 10, 11?
I would say about 11 is when I really decided I'll be swimming only backstroke, 11, 12.
Okay. So staying with backstroke, so what is the most important technique a swimmer should have to perfect the backstroke thing? Any specific technique?
In backstroke, the most important technique is, in all of swimming, the most important technique is the phase called the catch. It's when we enter the water and it's how we grab the water. So like we grab a certain amount of water and we push through. So it's called the catch.
Yeah.
And also stroke, that's the most important. But backstroke, I would say, it's the balance of both the arms in the pull. Catch. Because one arm too far wide and one arm too close to the body,
yeah.
you start going to one side of the track and then you can't hit the lane, or you can't swim extra meters that you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about finding the right balance in that swim.
Okay. So the arms part is the most important one, you're saying, in the backstroke.
In terms of technique, but yeah. Backstroke is actually a leg-dominated stroke.
Yeah.
Constant kicking is required in the 200 and in the longer race, and that actually hurts a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we have spoken about, the backstroke legs. You know, first time when you said that, that kind of, it was not available in India, then you had to get it through and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, a little bit on the backstroke ledge and why it is important for the athlete.
Yeah, basically what used to happen was a lot of athletes used to slip on the touch pad in the backstroke.
Yeah, because, leg we used to, slip, right? Yeah.
There was no ledge.
Yeah, I know. So the finger toes used to be touched on the wall, and when they used to jump, they used to slip, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The toes to the wall. And yeah. There's just... So what happened in 2010 was the swimming governing body made a ledge for the freestyle and freestyle dive, for the dive from outside the water, so that we can keep the back leg there and get some momentum off. But there was nothing for backstroke until 2014.
Okay.
But a lot of athletes used to slip. So they decided to make a ledge, a 10-degree angle, with an anti-slip surface.
Okay.
So we keep our legs on it. The toes still touch the wall, but the part below our toes on the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we come up, there's no slip, so we get some leverage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically about backstroke legs. So it's about now ensuring that we don't slip and we get a good push off the wall.
Yeah, so it is now it has become integral part of backstroke swimming, right? You can't think about having...
I actually can't.
okay, right.
I've been training with it for two and a half years. And my dive with the ledge has become a lot better. I think I've even forgotten how to dive without the ledge.
Okay. So, that's I wanted to get a bit brief history on the backstroke ledge. Yeah. So, next one. How important is a good start in swimming? Is it similar to, let's say, in athletics? You start good, you always have an advantage. Is it the same in swimming?
Yes.
Okay.
Because in swimming, the fastest part of any race is the first 15 meters.
Okay.
On the water.
Right.
And if we have a good start, basically it's good momentum for us for the rest of the race.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we get the lead off, so that's going to give us a boost of confidence, and also it might play mind games. Either way, it gives us a boost of confidence, and a good start basically leads to a good race.
Okay.
And a race like 50, the start can make a big difference.
Yeah.
It goes under the start turn, that's 30 meters underwater, and underwater swimming always faster.
Okay.
So I rely a lot. I've started relying a lot on underwater swimming. In the underwater part of the race, and I've been working a lot on my start for the past 2 years. And according to me, start makes a big difference.
Okay. So another interesting aspect, as when I was reading through, about techniques in swimming, is the breathing technique, right? Breathing. So how do you work on this bit? Do athletes have a specific method to them?
Can you repeat?
Yeah. So when I was reading about swimming, and also another important aspect I found out is the breathing technique, right?
Yeah.
So is breathing technique, it depends on athletes, or is
it depends on athlete to athlete.
Okay.
In backstroke, you get free oxygen. A lot of people decide to do continuous quick short breaths. A lot of people do it on a rhythm. And in freestyle, a few people breathe every other stroke. A few people do it every four strokes. Again, it depends purely on athlete. Like myself, in the 100, first in the 100 freestyle, the first lap, the first 30 meters, I go on a four pull. I breathe every four pull.
Okay.
Then I get every two pull. And then after the flip, I try to take as less as possible. And when they swim 50, some people do it without breath. Some stick to no breath, one breath.
Okay. So do you... So it's all... when you are swimming only, right? So do you try to improve your breathing, let's say, like, you know, doing something like yoga or, you know, something outside of it?
I don't do yoga. I used to do yoga. I haven't been doing any right now. When we do work on lung capacity,
okay.
I have how do you say? It's like a machine, but it's not exactly a machine, but it's
okay.
Just we pull our breath in and we try to keep it. I think it's used on in Haranaz. I don't remember exactly where it's used, but it's like we pull our breath in as fast as we can, and then
okay. Mm-hmm.
There's intensity levels.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been using that once in a while, and swimming, I just try to hold my breath. And that's even in the gym, we hold our breath sometimes when we're focusing on endurance and muscle lactic capacity. So that time, I think it just works and works on that.
So the holding breath thing, is it every day whenever you go to gym? Or
depends on this, where I am in the season. If I'm doing... usually it is, unless I'm doing strength training.
Okay.
And backstroke, since I do backstroke, I don't have to worry a lot about breath because I can breathe whenever I feel like.
Okay. So, Sherry, you know, Michael Phelps has in past talked about, you know, the importance of aggressive body language for swimmers. Do you think a certain degree of aggression helps you in your swimming as well?
It depends.
Okay.
Person to person again. For me, yes. I am a bit aggressive.
Yeah. So, do you to show that in your body language before the start, you know that you are aggressive right there?
Depends on the race again.
Okay.
Because before the 50, I will be a bit aggressive. For the 200 and the 100, I like to stay calm.
Okay.
A little aggressive, but not all the way until the race. Like, I'd say about like a few minutes before the race, I like to get calm and quiet. It's like calm before the storm. I feel the more, just get in my zone and...
Yeah, so it again depends
Person to person, depends on race to race and mood. Yeah, depends on meet, which meet, what condition, and all of that.
Yeah. So, Sherry, do you visualize and how important is visualization in
very
the
important. Yeah,
okay.
I do. It's very important. I go through all the outcomes. I go through the best way I want it to go. I do the most realistic way it can go. I go to the worst way it can go. I basically go all of my philosophies on all of this. Very engaged. Yeah, but usually I try to stay very positive. I always hope for the best. I also visualize the best.
Okay. Okay. So, what specific muscle groups do you target to get better at swimming? Do swimmers rely on weight training too, or is it all skill based?
It's mostly skill based, but weight training does make a difference.
Okay.
Depending on the body type, genetics, event, age. I've been weight training for quite a while. Again, depends on the stroke. Apply might focus more on the chest or the shoulder. Breaststroke might focus more on the legs.
Okay.
So, it depends on race to race. But as I try to keep it as balanced as I can. If I'm working the legs, I also make sure I work the chest, the arms, the back.
Right. What are the possible injuries that a swimmer needs to be wary of, considering it's a non-contact and zero equipment discipline any injuries swimming should possible injuries?
I haven't got anything.
But
there are some we have to take good care of our shoulder because we rotate so much, so there's there's the tendons that we have to keep in shape with us. We have to work on the rotator cuff part of the shoulder, and we just have to for me, what I do is if I feel any pain, I back off. And it's not like the good kind. If I feel any back kind of pain, if I pull a muscle, like if I get a cramp, I usually just back off. So it's important to remember to stay safe while training. The first rule of training for me is to not get injured. Because if I'm not injured, doesn't matter if I've got in three months of training or a month of training, I'm pretty sure I can still do well if my body is at 100%.
Okay.
But, yeah, so basically there are injuries possible, but if we're safe and if we take the precautions, I'm pretty sure we can avoid that.
Okay. There's last few questions left. So where do you think India is lacking when it comes to swimming? Now you've been in, you know, you had quite a few seasons as well, and you're the, you know, number one of the best swimmers in India has ever produced. So according to you, where are we lacking?
See, for me, also for me in general, it's facilities. Like a few people there are few people who do get access to good facilities, like the one staying in Delhi and one staying in the Padukone Center. But
okay,
I don't get that. If funds was an issue until 2017, but from 2018 I was part of the top scheme.
Yeah.
So that I've got the support necessary from dogs, but I still can't build a pool.
Okay.
But I don't have much to complain because I've got the support that I require. It's just that I was planning on going abroad to train so that I get some good training in,
okay,
good facilities, all of that. But the lockdown.
So
another thing was, I would say, financial rewards.
Okay.
And appreciation for the sport from the media.
Okay.
This was very low, but it's increasing.
Okay.
The government is supporting us. The swimming federation is supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to do the best. They're doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say appreciation from the media and just it's not a very visible sport,
mm-hmm,
like to the public.
Yeah.
It's still not like a very popular, a very important sport, but if you look at the Olympics,
yeah,
most of the medals won for the US is from the from swimming.
Yeah, yes.
And
if
India wants to get up on the medal tally,
mm-hmm,
of course, a lot of other sports, mm-hmm, also, we do have a lot of good athletes, but if we could get like 10, 15 member team to the Olympics,
yeah,
and at least 5, 6, at least 50% of the medal, we still get to go up at least a few spots on the medal tally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was attending a lecture the other day, and the sports minister himself said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things are going to change.
Okay.
For me, the main issue was the facilities.
Okay.
And I think if this all gets over soon,
mm-hmm,
I would get to go abroad, so that wouldn't be an issue as well.
Okay. Where were you planning to go, Shreya?
I would be at either the US, the Australia, or Canada.
Okay.
There were three options. I just had to decide between each. Decide from that.
So if it would have been a regular time right now, you would have been abroad, right?
Yeah, I would have. Most likely, I would have been in Gold Coast or Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. US was an option in December, but going into Feb, it found out that it might be hard to get in. But yeah, I was. Australia was pretty viable, so either Gold Coast or Sydney is an option.
Okay. Shreyari, I don't know if this question makes sense and all, but is it important to choose the right... Hello?
Yeah, can you repeat that, please?
Yeah. So I'm asking, so I don't know if this question, it makes sense for you or not, but
yeah,
still I've got to ask you. So how important is choosing, you know, the right kind of equipment? So let's say if you have to choose, you know, there are the right kind of goggles also, right?
Yeah.
So is it a minute part, or does it make a major difference?
Now it depends on person to person.
Okay.
So back in the days before 2010, there was this thing called, the swimmers used to wear all the way from the neck to the ankles, and they're called super boots. They reached a point that they were so good that the governing body had to ban them. Banned them.
Okay.
But my seniors tell me that those suits used to make a big difference in performance.
Okay.
And compared to those, the costumes that we are allowed to wear now, they say it doesn't make that big a difference. But it might. But for most of us, it does. But it's not that big a difference. But again, brand to brand, performance does vary.
Okay.
And it goes on what a person likes. For me, I like it to be tight as well as comfortable, the costume.
Okay.
Usually I like it pretty lightweight. I have a few brands that I stick to, and I don't experiment in terms of costumes.
Okay.
And goggles, it's very important. I would say goggles is actually the most important because it's our vision that we're
mm-hmm,
that we'd be sacrificing if we wear something that we're not comfortable with.
Right.
And it's about comfort. It's about how we can see, how it fits around the eye,
mm-hmm,
how well we can see out of it. Like a lot of people wear mirrored goggles because it looks really good. But
right,
even I used to wear mirrored goggles. But yeah. then I reached a point, now I wear completely transparent.
Okay.
My eyeballs can be seen, looks like my eyes are popping out, but I get the best vision out of that. I can see clearly, I can see, it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
So I stick to what's comfortable mostly, more than, like a lot of people say, something sleek, sleek goggles, something low profile is better because it cuts on resistance.
Okay.
But I'm like, it can cut on resistance, but if I can't see out of it clearly, it doesn't matter. So for me, comfort is the most important thing when it comes to equipment.
Okay. So last two questions. Swimmers you look up to and why? Current, present, or past?
At the young age, I used to... I've been fortunate to see a lot of India's greatest swimmers train. So when I was like 2-3, Rehan and Shikhar, Rehan Poncha and Shikhar Tandon used to train.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it, but I was 2-3. And then Veer Dhawal, Sandeep trained in our pool, in the pool in the pool in Sadashnagar. It's called Keshi Reddy Swim Center. They trained all the way until 2010.
Okay.
And I remember, I've had a few conversations with them back then as well. They've even come to my school as a chief guest, I guess. They were other swimmers I looked up to. I really looked up to Rohit Havildar. I had a magazine of him with an article about him. It was a swim magazine, just the results for last year, and an article about him.
Okay.
So I used to keep that really close to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I knew what's going on around the world, like every summer, I started looking up to Michael Phelps because of his work ethic and how he personified perfection. And I tried to do what he did. His coaches used to say he would do any workout given. It was like a challenge for them to keep him. Keep him working hard. And I try to do the same thing. I try to put in my best effort no matter what. And for the past few years, I've got a lot of role models outside of swimming. Now when it goes into swimming, I consider everybody my opponent. Even the world record holder is my opponent. I still enjoy spending time around like international meets. I spend a lot of time around Veer Dhawal.
Okay.
And it's fun. He really has a lot of experience, and it's I learn a lot and things like that.
I've had a lot of
people I've looked up to outside of sports.
I wanted to ask you about that only.
One of them was Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is the way he would. It's like how he demanded perfection again. Everything that he created, and how. His product was the most important thing. He was a very... I read his book. I watched both the movies. They say he was... It says that he was a very rude, hard person to work with. But at the end of the day, when Steve Jobs was making iPhones, there was no... Like, nobody would say, Samsung's as good as an iPhone and Steve Jobs is making iPhones. Now people do, but nobody would duck them. So, so it's about how he made... Everything seemed perfect. He did things the way he thought of them. And then also about how his products were more important than everything else. Like what he's working on was the most important thing in the world. He did not care about what's going on around. And he would do whatever's necessary to ensure that the products, he would devote his entire time to the product. That's what the movies portrayed. That's what the book portrayed. So, also Muhammad Ali. I would say he's one of the greatest athletes and human beings to ever live. And also what I liked the most about him was how people say it's arrogance, but I would say it's confidence.
Okay.
It's about he knew he can win and he just used to say it out. It's like it's like he one of his most famous lines is so I'm going to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. George can't hit what his eyes can't see. It was true. He was so fast. It's not like he was just making up things and then not living up to it. It was true. He was so fast. If you look at the matches, it shows that he was that fast. So he was honest. The arrogance is confused for... the confidence is confused for arrogance. But he did what he said. So that's something... I try to live up to.
Okay.
And I find inspiration in everything I watch or read.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to explain a lot because I think Ramesh is talking a lot.
No, it's okay.
Lionel Messi is someone I really enjoy watching playing and also look up to him.
Yeah.
One, because of how people kept saying he's too short and all of that, but he's still he's the best footballer ever, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be the best always. It's about how he makes the sport look like an art. People don't compare him to Pele or Maradona. People compare him to Leonardo da Vinci and Mozart. So it's about how he makes it look like an art, and that's something I try to do with me as well. I try, for me, my stroke to look as the best it can.
Okay.
And when I swim, people should be like, it should look good, it should be beautiful, it should look skillful. That's what I look at.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about it. There's a lot more, but most of it's like I find inspiration in everything I watch and everything I read.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I watch a lot of anime movies and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z. And then this is like one of the characters is born with natural talent. One of the characters is, he's a prince, but he's not as gifted, but he does everything he can. He works out.
Okay.
He does all the work to be as strong or stronger than the main character. But the main it doesn't mean the main character just sits down as well.
Yeah,
it's like this. When, when talent doesn't work hard, hard work beats talent. So it's like, I whatever I watch, I try to get life lessons from it. So if people say I'm talented, I take it to my head, but I also know that I have to do the work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't just hope to survive on my talent.
Okay.
So things like that.
Yeah. So you know, I'm also a huge fan of Messi and Muhammad Ali. I read up on Muhammad Ali so much.
He's
one of my one of an athlete.
I spend a lot of my competitions actually watching this. Like before I get ready, I usually watch something on the phone, and I spend a lot of time watching his matches, watching Lionel Messi play.
Yeah. That's kind of for a non-athlete like me, even for an athlete for an athlete like you, how these these two inspirational people also help us. That's also very fascinating. I'm sorry to indulge myself here, but if you if you can read a book called King of the World by this journalist called David Remnick.
Okay, I'll try to check it.
It's about Ali and his initial years and how he became such a big size. Focusing on his initial years only, the 5-6 years there. So if you can, like whenever you can.
I really look up to the athletes who worked insanely hard.
Also
those who were just like magic to watch.
Okay.
It was like magic to watch them. So Lionel Messi, Muhammad Ali, and Michael Jordan, you can name these for a few.
Yeah.
And all of them just look like Michael Jordan. Yeah, Kobe Bryant. People say Kobe Bryant's better, LeBron James is better, or maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar might be better. But a lot of people also do say Michael, but at the end of the day, nobody played the game that Michael Jordan did in terms of skill. Offense, defense, everything.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was the most complete player, and he was the most beautiful player to watch.
Yeah. Are you watching that Netflix documentary?
I have to start. I don't have Netflix, so I'm thinking maybe if I should get Netflix or not. I might find it anywhere else.
Okay.
I haven't got Netflix because I didn't have a need for it.
Okay.
So and then there are also athletes like Kobe Bryant who worked really hard. Kobe Bryant's work ethic is the best work ethic in an athlete, I would say. Even better than Michael Phelps.
Okay.
The story is about him. So he's like one of his one of his matches. So there was another player who decided to go to the Staples Center and get in a good warm-up, a good practice before the game.
Yes.
Because
they
were playing when Lakers had Kobe and Shaq.
Shaq, right.
He already finds Kobe Bryant there, working out, and in a complete sweat. Like, he's been working out. Like, it looks like he's been there for 2 hours already.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does his warm-up and everything, and he finishes his practice. He gets up, and Kobe Bryant's still playing.
Yeah.
And then 15, 20 minutes later, he stops by. So at the end of the game, Kobe drops 45 on them, or 50. So he goes and asks him, why do you work like that? Because he needed to know. And Kobe's answer was simple. Like, you may work hard, but I wanted you to know that no matter what you do, I'm going to work harder than you. I'm going to do what's necessary to beat you. So So it's crazy. Something I take. There's a balance of everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to work really hard, but also I'm going to take rest when necessary. And I think all the great champions do that. It's just that the side isn't seen. Like, everybody knows about how much Kobe used to work out, but not everybody knows if he used to take as much rest or not.
That's great, to hear all that. Yeah. So one last question.
Yeah. No worries.
Yeah. Any advice to young swimmers who's just starting out?
Yeah, swimming at a young age is just about having fun. That's all I did. I actually don't recall wanting to win something until at least until the age of 6-7. I did was just have fun. For me, it was about being fast always. I used to treat every practice as a competition.
Okay.
And I would suggest all the young athletes to do that. Just go swim fast every day and come back. Just have fun.
Okay.
Yeah, just enjoy swimming with your friends every day in the pool. Keep it simple, listen to your coach, and everyone will get to a point where you can take a decision later as to how they train and how they focus. But at a young age, it's just about having fun, learning the technique well, and things like that.
So that was Srihari Natraj with his valuable insights on everything related to swimming. Hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and don't forget to tune in for the next edition of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.